The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Time is running out to avoid a government shutdown. A man got a new kidney from a pig. And you could be the one to sort out a royal communications mess. That's some of what we'll get to on The 7 from The Washington Post. I'm Hannah Jewell. It's Friday, March 22nd. Let's get you caught up with today's 7 stories. Number 1. Congress has just hours left to prevent a government shutdown. Lawmakers have until just after midnight tonight to pass funding to keep the government open. They're expected to vote on a $1.2 trillion package today. But negotiators spent so long finalizing the legislation that there might not be enough time to pass it before the deadline. A brief weekend shutdown wouldn't have a huge impact. Many federal workers would be off for the weekend anyway. But if it lasts longer, thousands of government workers would go unpaid. And key services would be interrupted at several agencies, including the IRS, right in the middle of tax season. The House is expected to vote on the spending measure as soon as 11 a.m. Eastern this morning. But that would leave the Senate just a few hours to hold its vote. And the Senate can sometimes move a little slowly. Number 2. The government accused Apple of monopolizing the smartphone market. In a lawsuit filed yesterday, the Justice Department said Apple is breaking the law by locking out competing technology that could be better for users. If you have an iPhone, you can see for yourself what's at the heart of the government's allegations. The Justice Department says Apple limits choices with apps, text messaging, payments, and linking non-Apple watches with iPhones. Attorney General Merrick Garland explained the government's reasoning yesterday.
Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies break the law. We allege that Apple has consolidated its monopoly power not by making its own products better, but by making other products worse.
This lawsuit marks the government's most aggressive attempt yet to challenge Apple's market dominance. But it will probably face a high legal bar in court, if it even gets there. And Apple has vowed to fight it. At number 3, the UN Security Council will vote on a U.S.-sponsored ceasefire resolution in Gaza. The resolution calls for an immediate ceasefire in the Israel-Gaza war without a time limit. It's set for a vote at the UN this morning. And it's a significant development in the American approach to this war. The U.S. has vetoed 3 previous ceasefire resolutions. It reflects growing international outrage about the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, including from the U.S., which is Israel's closest ally. The resolution also warns against a planned Israeli military offensive in the city of Rafah. That's where more than 1 million people are sheltering from the fighting. Yesterday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken talked about the U.S. position on a possible invasion of Rafah.
A major military operation in Rafah would be a mistake, something we don't support. And it's also not necessary to deal with Hamas, which is necessary.
Number 4. A new Florida law bans people experiencing homelessness from sleeping in public places. The bill was signed into law this week by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. It outlaws sleeping overnight on streets and sidewalks or in parks. Under the law, people won't be able to camp in public spaces with tents, temporary shelters, or bedding. Local authorities will be tasked with enforcing the law. But critics say it doesn't address the root causes of homelessness. And they say it won't help unhoused people. Meanwhile, in California, voters took a different approach. This month, they narrowly approved Proposition 1. That measure proposes spending billions of dollars on housing and treatment for homeless people with mental health and substance abuse issues. a man received a gene-edited pig kidney in a milestone transplant surgery. That's our fifth story. 62-year-old Richard Slayman had lost hope because of his end-stage kidney disease. But on Saturday at Massachusetts General Hospital, he became the first living person to receive a genetically edited pig kidney. And now he's recovering well. Yesterday, the surgeon Dr. Tatsuo Kawai described the moment when the new kidney started making urine.
When we saw the first urine output, everyone in the operating room burst in applause. It was truly the most beautiful kidney I have ever seen.
This was a landmark surgery. It could give hope to the hundreds of thousands of Americans who depend on dialysis machines. And every day, 17 Americans die while awaiting a kidney transplant. So doctors hope that pig kidneys could vastly increase the supply of organs available for transplant. Number 6. If you're looking for a poorly paid but very intriguing job, you might be interested in this one. The British Royals are hiring a much-needed communications assistant. This role was advertised online in recent days. Duties will include drafting statements and arranging media appearances. And the London-based role has a less-than-princely annual salary of just over $32,000. But before you rush to apply, be warned that the job might be a little bit stressful. The family has made a royal mess recently as it's tried to deal with rampant conspiracy theories. Those concern the whereabouts of Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales. But according to the LinkedIn post, at least 100 people have already applied for the position. So if you think you can do a better job at handling royal communications, go ahead and send in your resume. And then please send us the scoop on what's going on over there. And at number 7, scientists found an amazingly well-preserved village from 3,000 years ago. This site in England was excavated in 2015 and 2016. But now, two new reports have shed light on what researchers called a time capsule village. It offers clues about life in this ancient place. They found a half-eaten bowl of porridge and a decorative necklace made with amber and glass beads. According to the researchers, the village was destroyed by fire not long after it was built, around 850 BC. During the blaze, its buildings and their contents fell into a muddy river below, and it was effectively frozen in time. You can see some amazing photos of the village in our newsletter. Just follow the link in our show notes. That's the show for this week. The assistant producer of The 7 is Taylor White. The staff writers are me and Jamie Ross. John Taylor is our editor. Additional editing by Christina Quinn. Copy editing by Francis Moody, Melissa Ngo, and Thomas Haliba. Mixing and sound design is by Jim Briggs and Justin Garish. Our theme music is by Edith Mudge. Renita Jablonski is the director of audio. I'm Hannah Jewell. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. I'm off next week, but Christina Quinn will be here to keep you up to date on all the latest news. She'll see you on Monday.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.